so grateful for you guys because you're always there. But I realize that a lot of people don't remember who WCA is, and we don't necessarily get the word out, even on Facebook or online, because there's so much going. So for right now, and take the summer off, and we're going to start doing some Zoom prayer meetings with House of Prayer people. And start doing that, and other some things that are coming up as we are reconfigure, I should say, and with the support of all the advisors and James Gall, we're just going to take a break. I don't want to wear people out going to meetings, and I want to tell you, I'm not sure that Wednesday at 9:30 works for many people with the traffic that we have in Nashville. How many people today struggled to get through the traffic? Anybody at all? I don't think it's going to change. We're looking at, you know, why not look at another, I don't know, once in a while, you know, once we start gaining some more momentum, doing something other than a 9 o'clock Wednesday morning. Because some of you have had to take off from work, and so I'm grateful for that. Susan Carter's here from GAP, the House of Prayer there in Murfreesboro. Krista Smith Huff is here, as well as her Jesse love here from Kings Hill House of Prayer. And we know Ryan Hall. If I didn't live so far away, this guy, Franklin House of Prayer, he's always in my corner. And which one's Blake? You're Blake? Yeah. Blake Adler. I'm trying to remember his names, and it's so hard when you're old. Yeah, exactly. And so they're from Lebanon. No, from Hermitage. And Abby's been there, my daughter-in-law. And you guys are from Lebanon.
Yep,
Chad and Brooke. Brooke, is so good to have you here. Yeah. My gosh. What are we going to do here today? I would like for you to allow them to share the vision of Houses of Prayer and take it up a notch. This is going to be recorded. Even if we have a few people, the word will get out. We want people to know the power, I mean, the House of Prayers that are all over. I think there's one in Clarksville. I'm not exactly sure. But they're everywhere. I'm going to let Susan maybe say something first because she might have to go for the noontime event. But I want each one of them to tell just a little bit about maybe how they started, what their passion, their vision is, why it's working, how God has answered prayers. But I want them to understand the vision that they have. These guys are committed. Not everybody can do 24/7. You know, I think that was modeled for us in Kansas City, but it was a very unique situation. A lot of people lived on the campus, and so they stayed there day and night. And that's tough. I mean, we have Kings Hill House of Prayer, and they do have lodging there on the grounds. But it's still a process to find people that want to pray with all their heart and are willing to make the commitment. So I want to say thank you all. Thank you all. Matter of fact, I'm going to have a couple of pictures. If I can get those two guys to stop talking over there, I'm going to have him take... It doesn't matter. I want to take a picture of us all together because that way we'll definitely... Yes, please do. You're the one that's concentrating. The rest of them are distracted. There we go. And wide like that. Yeah, so this is the gang right here. And then we're going to ask you to extend your hand to bless them. And I'm going to ask Jesse to start out with scripture. And then what we want to do is not just talk today. We want to pray. So we will pray afterwards as well. At least for a few minutes, because you need to see it modeled, for one thing. You need to know how important it is. And you can encourage each and every one of them as you write them, call them, let them know how God brought you into this really weird place. Because a lot of people have no clue what a house of prayer is in the church. And that's not a put down, it's just a reality, isn't it? Father, thank you today as we extend our hand to these servants, these who have said yes to the call. Something's burning in them. We sometimes call it the burn. And other times we don't know what to call it, except it's a house of prayer, a house where it's just you and me and my friends. And Carl and I are agreement. We just bless you. We thank you. And we set you apart for such a time as this to make a difference in our city, in our region. This is not accidental. This is intentional. That you pulled us together for this moment of time. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, one of our ladies here is probably the vintage member of Houses of Prayer, Susan Carter. And the reason I say that is that Susan started a House of Prayer many, many years ago down in Florida, and I came and visited your House of Prayer. Then she moved to Murfreesboro, and the gap began there. So I wanted to start with you, and we're going to do this kind of light, but I want you to just let your passion be known and make it as quick as you can so I get everybody in before you have to go.
Usually I'm good at that. So, yes, I've been doing House of Prayer for 26 years. Started with a House of Prayer, yes, that opened on Father's Day in 2000 in the Largo, Florida area, and it was open for 19 years before they put in a parking lot. But that's okay. God's
good. Love it.
But after about 5.5 years of running that, I worked with a House of Prayer down in Bradenton, Florida, and worked with them, One Thing Prayer Center. And then God put it on my heart to move to Murfreesboro to start a House of Prayer. So I literally moved here in 2008 to start a House of Prayer. And on 9/9/09, we opened that House of Prayer. And it's just been a blessing. And we've had our own building every time, every place we've gone, we've had our own building that we had access to until the last year. So it's been a very different transition than I ever experienced, because people would say, what do you do to start a House of Prayer? And I'd say, you have to have a building and you have to have access to it 24 hours a day, or you really can't do a House of Prayer. You can't just move around all the time. And now I'm in the very season I told everybody not to be in. So that is strange. But I do want to thank people like Jason Ford, who prayed for a House of Prayer in Murfreesboro and was there from day one when I moved here, helping develop that House of Prayer and be a strong pillar in that House of Prayer, and serves to this day on our board. And then people who are just pioneers is what you need for a House of Prayer. You have to have pioneers. And so I just encourage those who have a heart for it to just be bold and be willing, because it is a big, huge leap of faith to give up your job and to give up everything that seems comfortable and to go in and commit yourself to the Lord. But there is no greater reward. And I can tell you, after being an intercessor, I actually became an intercessor and got filled with the Holy Spirit in 83. So I've been at prayer for much longer than I've been at the House of Prayer. Amen. But this is what I was made for. And I knew that the first time I heard about Houses of Prayer, I said, that's what I was made for. And so just be faithful to that call. And I gave up a very good paying job in Florida to do this full time. And I can say that the Lord has rewarded me greatly. And for all of you who think, am I always going to scrimp and have to save and have to work so hard just to make the finances come together, I'm saying He will reward you.
And it's worth it.
It is worth it. Every bit of it is worth it.
All the way from Florida. And of course, Ryan came from California, isn't that right? And I know it's worth it. You gave up the big stardom over there on the West Coast. And I want Ryan to tell me, what year did you show up, Ryan?
There was no big stardom in California. We moved here in 2016. I just was thinking, even this morning when we were worshiping, when we were singing Better Is One Day, I still believe that. It's not just a really great song. It's not just a really great piece of scripture.
Right.
I'm a simple guy, and I haven't got past that. Better is one day in your house. One thing I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of our God, and to inquire in His temple. I haven't got past that. We'll never graduate from that. And so my wife and I have been part of the prayer movement. We were part of the Pasadena International House of Prayer in Pasadena for a while there.
Right.
And then we moved out here in 2016 to start Franklin Prayer House, which existed before us with Steve Garrett and Bob Perry and David Baroni were part of starting that in 2012. And then we kind of took over when we started the prayer room in 2016. So our 6 a.m.s, Tuesday and Thursday, are 10 years old this year, which is crazy. And I think what we just were talking about this at staff yesterday. I think the most beautiful thing about the house of prayer is the moment you begin is the moment you're doing it. Like, you don't, it's not like we're going to do this thing until something better comes along, or we're going to do this thing until the moment you start, that's the thing you're going to do forever. And
isn't that crazy? Yeah.
And so I think that that's been something many people get into the prayer movement for different reasons. My wife and I are in it because we just love intimacy with Jesus. And we've seen that if we give ourselves to daily intimacy with him, it brings transformation to our hearts, it brings transformation to the people who join us, and it brings transformation to the city. I'd love to like draw on a whiteboard and tell you how that exactly happens, but I don't know. It's a mystery. But there's something about looking upon the Lord and giving yourself to it daily that actually brings about transformation. So we've been hooked. The Lord's been so gracious to us. We do you're probably better with slides and social media than I am. So we're the worst recruiters in the world. But the Lord has graciously given us beautiful worship leaders, a wonderful staff. And we started with 4 hours a week in 2016, and the Lord's been gracious we're doing about close to 60 hours a week of live worship. In downtown Franklin, in our own little spot down there that we have to have faith for every month. But the Lord's just been gracious to us.
You know, Ryan, the fact that I've seen it grow from day one, I have been so blessed by this guy.
I came to WCA before I think we even started a set.
I know. And I want to say, this is really important that we stay in relationship, right? And that's why these are my favorite people, because... before I do this, a shameless plug for WCA. Honestly, this is how we could communicate if you were willing. I would like, and I'm planning on doing this, I want you guys to know, news that you didn't know about. Even after the break, I'm going to start listing on Facebook or my website all of the houses of prayer and how they can be reached. Any new information, any upcoming events... I want to do that with any other ministry as well, so that you could start to think of WCA, Worship City Alliance, as an alliance, which we intended all along, since 7707. That's how long it's been. I want to use this as a tool, but I can't do any better than we're doing now unless you get involved. I wouldn't mind having a link to every house of prayer and what's coming up, every seminar that is focusing on our values, ministries like yours, Kathleen. I want to be maybe a town crier. How's that sound? Where we could put a lot of things available to people who won't know. How many times have you come into Nashville and you go, man, I wish I'd known that was happening. I would have been there last night. And I'm not talking about Cinco de Mayo. Because that we... Bless their hearts. They love this place and help us so much. The place was not occupied this morning, so we set it all up. They were having memories of last night, I think. That's a nice way to put it. They are so good to us, but we set everything up gladly because I had a team of people that loved me and cared. It means so much. These folks talk about getting all in. They leave their home in the Lebanon area and move to the hill in Nashville, 777 feet above sea level. The house, it was once a meth house. Tell us a little bit about this transition, as Krista and Jesse are a part of this at Kings Hill House of Prayer. I want you to just say it, and then we'll give them a chance too. There we go. Glad you guys did.
Amen. First of all, there's so many legends here right now. I don't know what to do with myself.
Legendary.
Anyways, I'm Jesse. This is my lovely wife, Krista. We live at Kings Hill in on-site leadership there. Anyways, first of all, I want to honor Mark Lancaster. He serves as the president of Kings Hill. Love you, bro. Such love you, man. Anyways, yeah, Kings Hill, where to start? So, man, we moved from Lebanon to Nashville, and we actually connected with Chad and Brooke before we moved to Nashville. Long story short, we were in Lebanon for 5 years, five, 6 years, and we started going to Lebanon House of Prayer, connected with Chad and Brooke. But while that was happening, we just had a heart for Nashville. Like, we want to see Nashville saved. We want to see the whole city saved. And just connecting with Chad and Brooke, like, they talk about unity, right? Unity, John 17, unity, where one of our first or second meetings at Lebanon House of Prayer, their whole team comes over and prays over us, launches us in. I want to make a note here. We didn't know about Kings Hill at this point. All God told us to do was go to Nashville. We didn't know about Kings Hill. Yeah. And you can share a little bit into that.
Yeah, so, okay. So I'll back up just a little bit. Jesse and I moved to Nashville from Florida in 2019, in fall of 2019. And the Lord literally just called us to Nashville, and we didn't know why. We didn't have a why. We just said, yes, Lord, we'll go. And we left our families in Nashville. We left two ministries, in Florida, sorry. Left our families in Florida. We left two ministries that we were leading in Florida, two worship ministries that we were leading in Florida, and went to Nashville in 2019. Had no idea why, like I said before. And for the first 5 years, so for those of you that know, I've been a worship leader for 20 years. I joined my first worship team when I was 17. I've sang all over the world, Japan, Florida, South Korea, Hawaii. I've sang everywhere. Worship teams all over. And basically what happened was when we moved to Nashville, the Lord told me, I need you to rest. You've been on worship teams for 15 years. You need to rest. And so I went on this five-year journey, my first 5 years in Nashville, this five-year journey with the Lord of being hidden and not being on a stage. Because I had been on a stage since I was like three, singing, just everywhere. And so I went on that journey for 5 years with the Lord, and from 2019 to 2024. And then in 2024, the Lord opened a door for me to be on a worship team with Freedom Collective Ministries in Nashville. And so we went out to Centennial Park, and we led worship, and we saw people getting healed, saved, delivered, set free, baptized in the middle of the park in 2024, and it was insane. And from that, and this is going to lead all the way to Kings Hill, so I'm trying to say it fast, but from that, because that was fall of 2024, and from that, the Lord told me to apply us.
Amen.
To be the worship directors of Burn 247 Nashville, which is a worship ministry to unite the church to come together and pray for their city. And we host it everywhere. And it's like extended time of worship and prayer, like hours and hours and hours. And so we applied for that in November of 2024. And we were interviewed by Zoom interviews, all the things. And we became the worship directors of that in November of 2024. Then what happened was we started going to Lebanon House of Prayer. We met Chad and Brooke. All right, it's a wild God story. We met them, and we started going to their Thursday night fires, and we started realizing, oh, there's more houses of prayers everywhere. Like, they told us about Kings Hill. They told us about Murfreesboro. They told us about Franklin. We're like, whoa, this is a whole new world for us, you know? Because I didn't know. Like, I grew up in the church, and I had no idea about houses of prayers. I didn't know anything. I was just like, I didn't even know they existed. All I've heard was IHOP through the years. That was it. And so then from there, I'm trying to say this really fast, but, we started Burn, in February of 2025, and we hosted it at Chad and Brooks, House of Prayer. And, during that time, so I was looking for employment because I had been laid off from my job at a gym, in the fall. And I was just praying, like, God, what do you want me to do? And the Lord kept stirring my heart, full-time ministry. And I was like, I don't know what that is. What does that mean? Like, where do you want me to go? I've been a worship leader. What do you want me to do? And God let me see this post on Facebook from Kings Hill House of Prayer Facebook that said, we're looking for an on-site director. It's like admin work. Call this number. And I was like, all right. So I like sat on it for like 24 hours in February of 2025. I sat on it. I literally sat on it. I didn't call. And I called the next day, and this lady answered the phone, really nice lady. And I just told her what we're doing, you know, with Burn, and we're worship leaders, and we pray, and for the city, and all these things. And she was like, yeah, I think you should apply to be the on-site director. And I was like, really? She's like, yeah, I think you should. And I'm like, okay. And then I, like, tell Jesse, I'm like, maybe we should. And so I'm, like, praying through it. And she's like, yeah, and we supply housing and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, really? That's cool. You know, and so anyways, so long story short, February 2025, I applied. Jesse was there applying with me. He had to sign some things, all the jazz. We went through Zoom interviews with everybody, the board of Kings Hill, like the people that live at Kings Hill, all the things. And then the first week of March of 2025, we signed on to be the on-site directors of Kings Hill House of Prayer. And then in the first week of April 2025, we moved into the property of Kings Hill House of Prayer. And we started worship gatherings because that's what they all wanted us to do. And that's what we've always done is worship gatherings. So.
You know what? That probably was life-changing more than they realized. Of course, Barbara Ann Jetter has been a big part of this, along with her helpers like Marlene Tidwell and Mark and others that have been part of the leadership. And Barbara Ann said, could you be a spiritual advisor in case we get in the weeds? I've had a lot of calls. It's been fun, hasn't it? I want to say, because we want to jump back to him, but I want Blake to come in real fast, just a quick scenario of what we're doing, and then we're going to get deeper, but I'll give that to him. But the thing is it takes people, it takes commitment, like Barbara Ann, you know, in particular, has given so much to taking this house. And of course, Krista Francis had a lot to do with the vision. We thank you over there in Greece. Hi, are you okay? We miss her. So many people got involved. And I said, look, I helped, and Mark and others, we helped pray through the leadership, and we said, make sure they do rock and roll and have long hair. And so here we are. Go ahead, my friend. Tell us a little bit about you.
I'm Blake. I've been in Nashville for the last 3 years, and it's kind of thinking of which way to go to explain it. First of all, one thing I love about a lot of these guys right here is in the middle of turning our, you know, creating a house of prayer or just sort of starting. I'd actually visited Franklin House of Prayer like 3 years ago, having no idea anything about it. Got connected with Jesse, and then during a time where I was in between jobs, in between a lot of different things in life, I spent almost every other morning coming to Lebanon House of Prayer. And so I've already just gotten to be so encouraged and uplifted just by the community of the Houses of Prayer, who I look to for wisdom, and because we're kind of the new kids on the block.
Over in Hermitage, right?
In the Hermitage area. So just briefly, what had happened was we basically prayed and fasted for a week with our church. We go to Legacy in Nashville, and out of nowhere, this house came up and would not go away. And basically, we just said, God, if this is yours, then it'll work out. And over prayers and looking at probably 20 other houses, every door would just close. And we ended up closing this house in 2 weeks. And so as time went by, said, God, what would you like to do with this? Like, we have a house. What do you want to do with our life? And he said, well, you have upper room, and we have a funky little small upper room in our attic sort of space. And so we slowly converted that into a prayer room. And the faithfulness of God is just what has been it being about. I'm going to share a story. During the freeze, we had a neighbor who had a tree fall on their house. And our neighbor basically had told us that her mother was the last one to live in our house. It's an 80-year-old home. And as we sat there on the front porch in about 7-degree weather, I told her, I was like, yeah, we're going to have worship coming up on 222 because that number means a lot for us over on that side. And actually, we live on mile marker 222, which we didn't know till later on the Highway 40. And so as we told her, she starts to cry. She's like, okay, well, this is kind of weird, you know. We're kind of helping out, but I don't think it's anything that mean. And so she basically said, for like the last 30 years since her mother lived in that house, they've been praying that that property would be used for prayer and worship, and that the Lord would be served in that property. And there's been many baptisms. There's been many of the family members that have came to experience salvation. There's been the presence of God. There's been a tornado that split and went around the house. During the freeze, a tree fell 2 feet from the house and around my wife's car. And just the presence of God has been there ever since day one. And I just was like, God, what do? I started a new job one of our first days we met. And he just said, just be faithful with what you have. And so, you know, continually, it's that. Just a small tidbit that God showed me this morning that was something that's so amazing with what these houses of prayers can represent and do. Peter and Luke, they're getting up to the cross. And all of a sudden, Jesus goes, hey, Peter, you're going to betray me, but I prayed for you that you will be faithful through it. The faithfulness of God prayed for the faithfulness of man, going, you're going to go through this process, but everything I'm sharing to you right now is about to come out on the other side. In 2 Peter, I remember there's a man, and he says, all things have been already given to me. And
that's so good.
It's,
yeah.
It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, the faithfulness of prayers prayed. So now, basically going ahead, we're going to, after May, God said to start meeting bi-weekly. So it's our home. It's been a little chaotic to try to organize being in our home. So the consistency, I think, is going to be something beautiful, new. And starting in June, we'll be meeting twice a month.
Love it. Chad, go ahead. You're next. Chad Seabright.
Yes.
All the way from Lebanon. You drove about as far as they did from Murfreesboro.
Yes, Lebanon,
and
Tennessee.
This is a guy I noticed when he walked in because he's got this smile.
Yes.
Of peace and rest on him.
Amen.
Tell us a little bit about what you're doing and cast the vision for us.
Okay, I will. I would want to introduce my beautiful wife over there, Brooke. And we're in Lebanon, Tennessee. God launched us there. We have, out of our house of prayer, the Lord opened an opportunity for us to have a coffee house. So we have the house of prayer up there. Then we have a coffee house, which is kind of our window into our community. And, man, sitting with these guys, just wow, just amazing. But what I want to share with you, I just asked the Lord what I want to share is one of the things that I love what Ryan said, man, we're just looking at him, right? Like we're just magnifying, we're worshiping, we're praying, we're just exalting who he is. And as we began to do that, the Lord began to reveal things to us. And we've been believing for our city. We're believing for 55,000 saved and set free and for the church to walk in her destiny. And so we're beginning to declare that every Thursday night. We declare that over our city. And so we've been praying and declaring that. And I love prayer because I always say prayer produces conflict. Because that which is hidden has to become exposed because God is being exalted. And so what we discovered, we just discovered this. And so we've been going after this on Thursday night. And I want to submit this to you because I want you to remember this, because I want you to pray with us. I want you to join in prayer. But what we discovered is the Lord wants to reveal something in Wilson County. And we discovered that in Wilson County, where we live, there is a rate. So if 1,000 marriages happen in Wilson County, 676 will get divorced. So the rate is 67.6%. Which is the highest in Tennessee, which is higher. Tennessee overall is only 43%. So in Wilson County, there's this division. And you guys, it's snuck into the church. Because in Lebanon, we have 120 churches. And then you start getting into the history of the church. You start asking where these churches came from. Well, someone got offended with someone. And then they started their own thing because their doctrine and theology is going to be better than this doctrine and theology. And this is actually going to bring, but actually it's just a divisive spirit that's actually dominated Wilson County. And so the Lord has revealed that to us. So on Thursday night, we're standing and we're beginning to make declaration because we know, one of my favorite, Pastor Mark, we know before a supernatural movement of God, there's always unity. And so we've just been crying out on Thursday night and at the prayer house. And when you think of Lebanon House of Prayer, you think of, come on, release supernatural unity, God. supernatural unity. We're standing and we're confessing, we're repenting for Lebanon, and we're asking God, release the opposite of division, which is supernatural unity. And so that's something that we've discovered at Lebanon House of Prayer. So if you think about us, you think of Lebanon, man, that's what we're going after. We're going after that divisive spirit, that God would bring supernatural unity to our city.
Let's take time right now and pray that. I mean, really, this is about houses of prayer. I want Ryan to address that, but I also want you to jump in too first, and then I'll give you Ryan. The conflict that comes, warfare, but I don't use that word very often. I just know how life is. I know how people are. They've not been forgiven. They haven't forgiven others. They have father wounds and a lot of other things. And we want to say, it's the devil. Well, he's using you if you've yielded to him. But in truth, there's a lot of people that just need to grow up and mature. Can I be honest? I mean, let's just say, hasn't Jesus said it's, everything we have need of? Didn't he say that? We have all things pertaining to God, everything that we have pertaining to godliness. So we look at all these things to prop ourselves up on. I think we're learning the longer you do this. Let's all agree to pray right now. Let's have just a house of prayer gathering. Let's pray out loud and take the mics. Then we'll come back to Jesse and then to Ryan. Father, in Jesus' name, it's like herding cats. You can't hurt a cat. They have so many opinions. They get easily offended and go hide under the couch. Lord, it's not much a different situation. So offended, so easily broken, and so easily afraid that somebody might judge us or have an opinion about us. We know that's going on right now in our government. We cry out together. We say, let there be, as it said here, but Chad, supernatural unity, supernatural breakthroughs in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord, we just thank you, God, for your presence, Lord. We just pray your kingdom come, your will be done, Jesus, in your church, in our cities, God. Let unity come. When there's unity, there's a blessing from you, God. So we just thank you, God. We speak this right now in your name, God. Unity, Lord, in your people, God. Unity in your city, God. Unity in Lebanon. Unity in Franklin. Unity in Nashville. Unity in Hermitage. Unity in every single city in this state, God. We believe for this state and our cities to be saved and set free, God. And I pray for the church, God. I pray for the church that they worship you and behold you, God. Behold
your name.
Behold your name, God. Thank you.
Love you, Lord.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
I thank you, God. I pray that you'd release a sound, God, in this region, God. You have spoken so many prophetic words, God, that revival is going to come out of Middle Tennessee, God. And we stand on that word, God. And we pray that you'd release a sound, God, that you would release a worship, God, that everybody would lock eyes with you, Jesus, and that you are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. You are the one we want to lock eyes with, God. I pray that we would take our eyes off the natural.
In Jesus'
and God,
name.
We would look into the supernatural, God. I pray, God,
name.
That we take our eyes off the offense, the wounds, God, the religion, God, the denominational walls, oh Lord. And I pray that we would lay that down and we would seek the King of Kings. You are the one. You give us supernatural unity, oh Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in this region.
We
just bless
name.
You.
Yes, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I agree with this prayer to say, would you give us a supernatural ability to talk to one another and not hold it in our hearts and not communicate and make it so that others have to guess what you're thinking? Lord, let there be a unity and an openness to talk to one another in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Who wants to start a house of prayer in your city? Anybody here? Anybody here that's thinking about starting a house of prayer? We need more.
Yes.
All right, so some of you step up because God may be calling you. Give us the word, brother.
Yeah, man, just thinking about the overall theme, I just want to read this scripture in Revelation 4. And it says, then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven. And the same voice I had heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this. And instantly I was in the spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne, someone was sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne was a brilliant as gemstones, like jaspers and carnelian, I think is what it is. But I share that because our purpose is to behold the one who's sitting on the throne, looking at him, the vertical worship songs. And to speak in Nashville as we do our prayer rooms, we have worship throughout the week, day and night prayer is happening. First, I'll add, we are in a high place. God has redeemed Kings Hill. It used to be a meth house where drugs were taking place. But now it's where worship to Jesus Amen. Is taking place. So he redeemed the high place. So here's a whole sermon we can go on high place prayers.
I love it.
All that to share is that, man, we're believing for the 712,000 to be saved and set free in Nashville. And we're believing for the sound of heaven to be released. When you're walking on Broadway, we pray for Broadway a lot. When you're walking on Broadway, you hear every bar playing something different. There's different sounds being released. The people in there, we pray for the bartenders. We pray for all the people who are playing. But there's different sounds. And it's not so much a unity in that sound. Because I hear a different drum beat, a different guitar, a different tune.
Different flavor of the month.
And let me share this. This is what I'm believing for. It goes silent. And everyone's on their knees singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," to the King of Kings. So when we pray in houses of prayer, we get bold. We want the whole city to be saved. We can't do it alone.
Amen.
But it starts in a prayer room of two people.
Amen.
It starts in a prayer room of five people.
So I want to ask Ryan to Amen. Jump in here. Susan's gone. And so the next senior prayer leader.
Left stardom, became a senior.
I want to put you on the spot because you're old enough to know the conflicts we're talking about. How people jump on board, they're so excited. And it doesn't last too long sometimes. It takes commitment, conversations, because we're afraid. If we don't feel like we want to do it, we get afraid and we back away. We pull back. That's happened many, many, many times since 7707 when we had a house of scores of pastors and leaders. And so we invited now the intercessors. We've invited in the worship leaders. We've invited the missionaries, anybody that cares about what God's doing in our city. But I really think you have an answer here for us. Ryan, what is it God's giving you insight as far as you're forming prayer teams, getting to the point where you can depend on some people to carry the load for you? You know that song by Wayne Watson years ago? The ones left standing carry on. Well, a lot of us become real. You feel alone sometimes.
Yeah. I was going to say, when you have a panel of folks who are passionate about this, like, you can see how, you know, like, oh, it's happening. But I think the house of prayer is probably the least efficient way of doing anything. Like, if you're looking for efficiency, if you're looking for, like, a high-powered model of, like, takeover, putting people in an empty room is the least efficient, effective way of doing this. And I felt like, even Jerry, when you invited me, I felt like this was something that needed to be said. The house of prayer is not a giant that will kill the cultural giant. It is a small, smooth stone in the hand of the Lord. And so I think sometimes where we get trapped is we think if it's not bigger than culture, then it's not effective. And I think anyone who's on this panel right now would tell you that an empty room does more than you think. And we're in Nashville, we're in Franklin, Tennessee, we're in the shadow of Nashville. And it's so interesting when you're praying, like, I loved what you were saying, what the Lord was speaking to you about Lebanon. We obviously, the spirit of performance is giant over this city. I mean, the fact that the Ryman is what it is now when what it originally was, that's very interesting. And then the Lord, we're not that smart. We just kind of sit before him, and then the Lord reveals things to us. And he's like, hey, guess what the best way to take down the spirit of performance is? Put a really quality worship leader in an empty room. And we've actually had worship leaders, we've never said this to people, but we've had worship leaders that come to us and say, I feel like I'm dealing with the spirit of performance. Can I come and do a set? And they'll come and do a 6 a.m. by themselves and see the spirit of performance break off. We know we're in a city of a spirit of religion. And for some reason, people want to pick that thing and go after it. And we all, any of us who've been in here for a little while know you don't pick fights with a religious spirit when half the church is in agreement with it. So we find that like one of the things that the Lord has shown us is the way to win that battle is outlast the religious spirit and do what you say. We're going to give ourselves to prayer day and night and then do it. Because religious spirits bait and switch, and it's here today and gone tomorrow. And you know, we're it's such like a transient community in Nashville, and people are coming in and they're like, Ryan, what do you think we should do to take on XYZ? And I'm like, just stay. Last longer.
Come on.
Than the religious spirit. And this is the inconvenient, like non-efficient ways of God. He wants people that are going to give themselves to a long obedience. He wants people that will go into the room when no one's there. And when people show up, we're not moved by, oh, we really got momentum now. You know what I mean? Like, look at all these people. You know, we all know they could be gone the next day. So it takes folks that have that inside of them that are like, I will obey to the end. And the reason we're all part of this is not because we want to create some kind of giant movement that's going to take over the world. It's that we are deeply in love with God. And if we start measuring prayer rooms by the effectiveness of their prayer, then people will give up after 5 years. Well, we've been praying for revival for 5 years, and it hasn't happened. This isn't working. But we know that it will.
I'm so glad you said that. Yeah, I really think that puts it into reality, right? Because, I mean, I'm speaking from WUCA right now, having started in 7707 with this.
Yeah.
And it takes love. It takes determination no matter what. And you don't see the effect of a group this small on a Wednesday. But, you know, then you get hold of a tape or, let's say, you know, online, and they are awakened and... I mean, really, awakened by something somebody said here, it makes it worth it.
Wait, can we pray for you right now, Jerry?
I wish you would.
Yeah. I just felt like one of the things that the Lord's doing in this season in the house of prayer and in the body of Christ is moms and dads. Gen Z and younger are desperate for moms and dads that will pray with them, that will sit with them. And Jesus, we thank you for Jerry. We thank you that he is a father in the city. We bless him. We recognize him, Lord, and we release him into a new season of being a father like he's never fathered before. Yeah, I feel like the Lord's taking you to a place of table, that your dining room table is going to be filled with young leaders. I see men and women of God who are desperate to know the ways of God around your kitchen table, around your dinner table. So Jesus, we just thank you for what you're doing in Jerry, what you've done in WCA. And we ask, Lord, for a rearranging, a reworking, a new strategy from heaven, Jesus. We ask for wisdom from heaven in the name of Jesus. We thank you for him. We bless him, God. Yeah.
You know, I tell you what, these moments matter. I'm a weakling at times. I seriously can't handle this much glory. It's good. That means it's working. It keeps me out of trouble. Before we transition to another subject, let me, and by the way, this was not scripted at all.
Amen.
You can tell. But let me bring attention again that WCA is not over. I'm taking the summer off. I need some rest. I'm involved in maybe 10 or 12 ministries around the city. Three of them are actually full-time under Artists of Christian Testimony. I mean, it's a full-time department. I do have three of them. But I'm involved in a few other things, too. And then people laugh and say, you're everywhere. Well, I'm passionate for this city. I'm passionate for unity. I'm passionate for those who have been broken and feel disenfranchised. Because I have a shepherd's heart. I can't help that. I want to just make this appeal one more time. This can be more effective probably online than we even realize with a little help. I need help in the ways that I've learned the gifts of social media just through watching YouTube. But there are people you know and I know that could help me make a better looking, website. I don't mean change it a lot, but it's all right. I'd like to add other things like the prayer movement so I can post all of those things at the houses around and let you know things that are coming up. Or a seminar you know you don't want to miss. Or something like we've done here with Kathleen, as I mentioned. You know, if we get the word out, I mean, it doesn't hurt the more people hear and know. And you may not be able to be there, but you can pray for them. We can pray for this seminar and that. I'm doing some exotic things. I don't doubt that with Don. But I've got somebody that walks with me and trusts me. And he's willing to let me test the waters a little. So are you willing to do that? I could have several tabs on Facebook or at least up on the website. But you'd have to look at them to know it's happening. So I'm saying it once again. And we wanted to pray over the plaza again. Because Diane has been such a total blessing to open this house to us. And we love you and we just extend our hand to you. We say you are worthy, Lord, of this gift to this city. We're praying over you, Diane, your whole family. We're saying in Jesus' name, you won't see us vacant or vacating your life. We're standing with you in Jesus' name for the victory that has been won by the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Look at some fresh strategies, some new things. Who wants to jump in? You got something you feel God's really saying. It's now. You're about ready to move into a new direction with this or flesh it out a little bit more, anything at all, fresh and new. All right, go for it.
As I've been praying, I've just felt God keeps sharing a lot on, and Jesse's really just inspired me a lot, is the number 222 and how God's used it to just start to share what I believe is a mark of what this revival will look like in the unity of the city. And, you know, he's coming back for one body. And as I opened, the very last scripture I looked at today was Ephesians 4. And just looking that it's one body and it's one spirit and it's one container. And he started messing with me because one of the 222 scriptures found in Mark is about the new wineskin. And I think he's coming back for one wineskin. Because this wine is not something like the past has been able to be held by one person at a time, because he's coming to fill the body of Christ on the planet, and that is us together. And if they can't see it in us, and us, how we love each other, how we look past the things that we used to disagree upon, besides religion, besides deconstruction, besides everything that we can name, we just let the main thing be the main thing, and the name of Jesus reign. So I just really feel like right now that we, and I just love to pray into it, that we get to be this wineskin. So, Father, I thank you for this body of people right now. I thank you for fathers in this room, for forefathers in this room, for pioneers in this room, for people who stayed behind to clean up the mess of the generations before, for people that went ahead to plan the way, to plant the ground, to sow seeds, to see them fall and fail over and over and over and over to get us to this point right now, God. We thank you for the faithfulness that you have had over us. We thank you for the faithfulness that you have placed within us, and that we step into what you finished. The finished work of the cross is what we say when we plead the blood of Jesus. So right now we plead it over this city, over this land, over this ground, over this entire region, God, of Middle Tennessee, that you gathered so many people. You gathered so many people that I've met that they are Uber driving. They left a church of 500 and followed you. So for those that have been faithful, you are more faithful. For those that have pursued a promise, you have more promises. And every blessing that you have promised, God, I pray for your body, that we would accept it with open arms. God, pour out your wine right now.
Yes, in Jesus' name.
In this room, let us understand what that even means on the inside, God. You look for agreement on the planet, not just where two or more gather, but where in the spirit that you placed within each of us agrees with the spirit that you placed around us, Christ within us, a hope of glory for a city crying out for the manifestation of your glory. And they look at us and we go, you, sir, are the geek god and the king of the universe.
That's true.
Let us carry your glory well. And let us steward your love even better.
And these prayers are shifting this city now and shifting our region. This is intentional. On Wednesday at the Well of Nashville, intense prayer. And a lot of churches, see, when a church prays, it shifts the environment.
Yeah, being in Nashville, in our worship sets and prayer sets in Kings Hill and outside and inside that little prayer room there. Man, just literally singing scripture. All blessing and honor and glory and power be unto the Lamb who sits on the throne. Over and over and over and over. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And I say that because we talk about spirit of performance in Nashville. When we tell, when someone wants, a worship leader or a worship person wants to do a set at Kings Hill, we're like, hey, there may be nobody in the room. There may be 10 people in a room. We have people not reach back out to us. We have people who do. All that to say is when we tell folks when they want to lead worship or do a worship set in a prayer, sing the song the Lord at heaven's already singing. Because we're in Music City. We don't need another light show or another platform, whatever you want to call it. What I'm saying is that we need to be singing the song that heaven has already been singing. And they're singing it right now. So all that to say is, a strategy from heaven, sing heaven songs. And let me tell you something. I'll share a couple glimpses of moments inside the prayer room. And man, we were singing blessing and honor, glory and power. Then I think this was on New Year's Eve. We did a 5-hour worship burn. At the end of the night, 12:30 midnight, while downtown was doing their celebration, and we prayed for those people, and we prayed for his kingdom to come. But then when we were in the prayer room, it was like 40 of us packed in there. It was absolutely incredible. We sat on our knees, sat on the floor, and it went silent for 10 minutes. And that went back to holy, 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 blessing and honor, because we're believing for this city to be saved, in this city to know Jesus, in this city to sing the song of heaven. For Worship City.
Very good. Krista, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah. So we've been at Kings Hill for a year. We just passed our 1 year. Woo! But we've done, so like Jesse was saying, we've done a lot of worship gatherings at Kings Hill because we believe that when we worship the Lord, he shifts the atmosphere and fills it with his presence. And in his presence, he can do anything in his presence. He can heal people. I mean, it's just anything can happen. And that's what we've seen. We've seen so many people get healed during worship at Kings Hill. We had a guy that came and did worship from New York, and he had been dealing with a lung issue for like 20 years. A long, long time. And he, after a worship gathering, he contacted us and he said, hey, I know you guys don't know this, but I've been dealing with a lung issue for 20 years. And when I got home that night after worshiping at the hill, the Lord healed me and I can breathe fully.
Hallelujah.
And we were like, what? Praise God. And then we've also had other people like, this guy's liver was healed. We've had multiple legs healed that the Lord has healed. A girl's ankle was healed. And it's all during the worship gatherings. The Lord is healing people. And we've also seen God provide. We've prayed for people to have provision in their finances, and we've seen them get checks in the mail. I mean, like, the Lord's just been answering prayers, but also healing.
Increase,
and
Lord, increase.
At Kings Hill, like, we are there to pray for the city, of course, but we're there to also unite the church And we're also there to, like, pray for each other and, like, anoint you with oil and say, the Lord, may the Lord do this. May the Lord heal you. Whatever it is that you need, like, the Lord will do it. We have faith, and we have seen it for the past year. And so, I encourage everybody in this room, like, find out what's going on at Kings Hill. Talk to us. Come to a worship gathering. Come worship. Come get in the presence of God. It may be 5 of us. It may be 10 of us. Sometimes it's 40. But, like, the Lord's presence coming, he comes and floods that place every single time. And we leave changed. I leave changed. And so we just get in his presence. So,
you know, I want to say that's the key right there is presence ministry. And you've been demonstrating that on the hill. Others have as well. Presence ministry. Whoa. Where you impart and activate life in people's lives. And it's working. And it's going to continue to. One more note here before we just close in prayer. And we're going to let you come up and take the mic and pray if you want to. We're going to pray over our city and pray over this nation. We want to pray for all the tribes. I mean, our Hispanic friends. We try to bless them, you know, with a meal, lunch or something when they open. Those things are important, that we do a little bit at a time, the part that we can provide. So, in case you didn't hear and you came in late, we're taking a break this summer from these meetings in the morning. 8:30 is so hard to get here with the traffic. So we've got to figure out, it's 9:30, but we have to be here at 8:30. And Ben has been amazing, his assistant. By the way, the best, I mean, he's just amazing, helped get the sound today. Thank you again. Great mix and everything. And Mindy's helped so much as well. But again, this only works if you'll be involved. I need slides like you've seen today sent to me so I can let people know about your house of prayer. And anything that's coming. I'll put it on Instagram, Facebook, and on the website, and in any other place that you tell me to put it. But it's not going to work if you don't send it. Now, I know a lot of people say I'm too busy, so he'll run it down. He'll find it. Well, you guys get lost too, and I don't know where to look sometimes. So we need everybody to help. Help me on the webpage, make it really accessible to people, and say, hey, you know, there's something going on at WCA. They're not actually sponsoring us, but they're hosting us, and they're encouraging us. And I'll put the little tiny little logo at the very bottom of it, just so that people know, oh, they can reach them. They know what's going on. I hope that's going to work. And we may use some of your administrative help as well. Because, by the way, don't forget, all the goodies still have to be eaten. Can't be taken out of the room. None of them have sugar in them. Coffee. And I'm giving you right now, come here, I'm going to give you $20 for a bag of dark chocolate. Because I want to support her ministry in some way. We're so grateful we've been able to use this room. And we hope we'll come back. And we just need to find other opportunities to do this. Maybe we're going to look at the options. Would you pray with me as we close? I want us to pray over our city, over the vision that God has so lavished upon us to be a part of this. And it doesn't matter that it's only a few. You know, 2 or 3 is all he asked for. And we've got him in this room. Father, we pray for, as we conclude, connection after the gathering to find out where do you meet and how can I help, and that we'll communicate with each other and make a difference in how we know the left hand is feeding the right hand. I mean, a lot of times we just don't know, do we? So help us to see what we can't see, hear what we can't hear, and be aware by the Holy Spirit. Guys, let's just pray as we gather here. And if anyone wants to come and get the mic, we're going to do a modeling here. We're going to model the prayers of a house of prayer. Father, right now, we cry out for our city. We cry out now in Jesus' name that you'll show us who you are bringing to this city to change the city. They're coming 100 a day. We have no idea who these ministers are. We need to know them. We need to reach out and touch them. We need to be aware. They need, some of them, some sanctification, some maturing. They need to go to an encounter training and find out why it's not working, why I keep hitting the wall in my attitudes, and the people I feel on a, I don't feel attached. I feel alone. And so I know that the little things like this can make a difference. It can make a difference in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, is there anything you want to pray out over the city as we close? Now, Lord, give it more.
Yes, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the foundation is that you are there and we pray to you. We worship you, Lord Jesus. And through that, that will take everything from underneath that we are fighting against and turn it around so that the city, this state, and this nation will be saved. We bring to a repentance, Lord. We ask for everyone that's here today to continue to keep this at the forefront. Prayer and worship is at the forefront. Praising your name, Lord Jesus. We just thank you for the transformation of this country. And it all starts in the quiet prayer, empty prayer rooms that you bring in. And we thank you.
Father God, I thank you for the House of Prayer movement, God. I thank you that it's about laying down our agendas, God. Laying down our things and focusing on the one. Focusing on the one, God. And that's what we pray, that this city, people would lie down their agendas, God. Lie down their plans and their conferences and their circumstances and focus on the one, the King, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. It's about opening up the gate of heaven and saying, open up, you gate, King of Glory, you are welcome here. We want to focus on you. We want to give it all to you, God, because when man builds the house, he labors in vain. But when God builds the house, it moves. And so, Lord, we just thank you that you are building the house of Nashville. You are building the house of Williamson County. You are building the house of Franklin. You are building the house of Middle Tennessee. You are building the house. And so we say, God, build the house, God. And may we not labor in vain. May we not focus on our own things, but may we focus on the one, which is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we give you the thanks and the praise, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Lord, we thank you for the honor and the privilege it is to yes. partner with you upon
you,
the
God.
Earth, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that this is a divine partnership, that it's fully you and fully us in this divine partnership. And what an honor
yes,
and
God.
A privilege it is, oh God, to partner with your Holy Spirit upon the earth, to see your kingdom come Ooh. And your will be done. Your will be done, oh God. And Father, we thank you for the gift of perseverance, oh God, that we persevere. And we know, oh God, that perseverance produces a crop, oh God. And so, God, we once again say to you today that we will not quit, oh God, but we will persevere with you, God, that when nobody else comes, oh God,
yes,
when we
Lord.
Stand before you, God,
yes, God.
We will give account to
cry.
You, oh God,
you
and we
cry.
Will say that we stood. We
whoa,
stood
whoa,
when
whoa,
it
whoa.
Wasn't popular, oh God. We stood when it wasn't fancy, oh God. We stood when it wasn't glamorous, oh God. And we stood when only one other showed up, oh God. But Father, we want to see your kingdom come. And so today, God, we thank you. We thank you that it is a gift to persevere with you, oh God. And we want to see your kingdom come. And so we say, here we are, oh God.
Yes,
and we give you a fresh
yeah,
yes today, God, in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lord, we pray out of Ephesians 1. We pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope to which you've called us, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Jesus, we ask for your body to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. We ask that you would enlighten the eyes of pastors, leaders,
yeah.
congregation members, yes, Lord, that we would be filled with light
yeah.
in a season of darkness.
We ask that the church would have the commodity of light, that there would be light in our eyes and in our hearts, Jesus. Yeah. We pray that these prayer rooms would become revelation rooms, that people would walk into the space and their eyes would be open at the beauty and majesty of Jesus. Lord. That people would come in with burdens and leave forgetting what they came in with because they've encountered the true living God and their eyes have seen the Lord. We ask for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to be rampant through the prayer movement in Middle Tennessee. Lord, that these would be revelation rooms. We ask that for all of the leaders and we ask that for every person who steps foot in the spaces. In your name, Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Let's, Carl, just close this up.
Well, thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. And it, wow, we are on fire with this, Lord, because you've brought a fire into us today. Lord, and you are saying, don't grow weary in doing well, sons and daughters. And Lord, we bless the churches in this region that it's no longer, well, there's a house of prayer there, and there's a church there. No.
Oh, there's another one.
Here's a house of prayer. The Lord says, you're a house of prayer. You're a house of prayer.
Yes.
You're my house of prayer. You're a house of prayer. Don't grow weary in it. And I've spoken through these voices like you're not performing. If you're just sitting in your house facing the wall and praying, you're bringing fire into the earth. You're praying my will into the earth.
Amen.
So, Lord, we receive the mandate today. And as a pastor in the city, I commission the body right now to open up the house to
receive
become more houses
receive
of prayer,
this.
To link with the other
Ryan,
houses
receive
of prayer.
This.